Hey, Rainbow Up Village. This is Cicely Majeed. I am back. This is part two of my wellness and mindfulness video series. This is an audio. I decided to just add audio just to make things a lot more easier, so I don't have to worry about issues with my phone or uploading videos and all that jazz. So I'm continuing on with part two of cleansing your life. That's what we were talking about. And on the video, the last thing that you should have saw is me talking about your mindset. This is a part of cleansing your life. So you want to make sure that you have a proper and positive mindset so that things can come to you. When we put stuff out in the universe, when we speak negatively about things, the universe will attract that to us. So if you say, I don't want this, and I don't want people to do this to me, and I don't want to go here, and I don't want anybody to come near me, or I don't want to lose this or lose that person, you're putting negativity out there. Even though you're saying that's not what you want, don't speak about what you don't want. Speak about what you do want. So I want this type of person in my life. I want to be attractive to these people. I want to go here. I want this to happen to me. I want to gain this. I want to have that, travel here, whatever. You put positive things out. You want to make sure your mindset is positive so that you bring back what you put out. That's a karmic law of nature, law of the universe. What you put out, you get back. So if you put out negative things, you're going to get back negative things. If you are rude to people, people are going to be rude to you. If you are kind and loving to others, you will have kind and loving people attracted to you, and you will receive that back. So what you put out is very, very important. And that means your mindset has to be positive as much as possible. Things go wrong in our lives. We have challenges. And that means sometimes you might think negatively. Somebody might hurt you, say something that you don't like, do something you don't like, or something bad happens, and you might spit out expletives, and say something against somebody that you don't really mean to say. Be careful with those things because you can attract negativity to you. And if you think negative of somebody, somehow, some way, they're going to know it. They might not want to be near you. It'll just send off a vibe to them, and they'll feel that vibe because we put off energy wherever we go, and people are attracted or repelled by our energy. So if you think negatively of somebody, if you don't like somebody, and you're around that person, chances are 9 times out of 10, they're going to know. Whether you say anything or not, you smile in their face, you pretend, they're going to know. So that energy is very, very powerful, what we put off to others and into the universe. So make sure your mindset is positive so that you can think on a higher level. You'll be more mindful. You'll be able to make good and positive decisions and think ahead. That's very important. When you think ahead, if you fail to plan, you will plan to fail. So if you think ahead before you make a decision or you do anything, you're more likely to make a good decision because you're taking time to think it through. And that doesn't mean think forever, just keep thinking, thinking, and thinking, and thinking. You have to take some action. So in order to think higher, take time to think things through, weigh your pros and cons, and just, be careful what decisions that you make because they can affect other people. It's not just about you. Whether you're involved with somebody or not, whether you have family members close to you, friends, whatever, it doesn't matter. What your decisions are going to affect somebody somewhere. So you want to make positive decisions. You want to think on a higher level when it comes to yourself and other people. And then you also want to start healthy practices. So this is another way to cleanse your life. So you made a list of some things that you wanted to detox, to get rid of. You took stock. So now it's time to start some healthy practices. Be prepared and ease into this gradually so you're not just jumping into something. Like, I talked on the video about me being vegan. I was a vegetarian before I was vegan, and I'm not completely vegan right now. I'm doing it gradually. So if I see something that I like, it might be for vegetarians, or it might be for vegans. So I'm like, I don't want to try that. Like tofu, I'm not very gung-ho about tofu. I don't like it. But if it's mixed in a bunch of stuff, like a breakfast burrito or something, I will probably eat it because it's mixed with stuff, but I'm not going to eat it by itself. So you have to ease into things, and you don't want to go cold turkey and just full force into it because it can cause a huge upset. So be careful with that. And then also, the next thing you want to do, or the healthy practices I have a list here for you. So the first one is meditate. So I'm going to do an I am meditation on Monday, and this is a very, very powerful. It's actually the most powerful meditation you can ever do. And it's because of the words I am. Now, I just got finished telling you about what you put out in the universe is going to come right back to you. So if you say I am this and I am that, that is your brain, your subconscious is going to go to work for you and say, okay, that's who you are. That's who you're going to be. So if you say, I am nosy, I am ugly, I am stupid, chances are people will see you that way. You're going to do stupid things. You're going to be a really nosy person. You're going to feel ugly when anytime you look in the mirror, even if you're a beautiful person, you're going to feel like you're an ugly person. You're going to look in the mirror and see somebody ugly. And other people might not see the beauty in you. And you might also put off negative vibes. So you're going to have that negative, that ugly inner, it's not going to be inner beauty, it'll be inner ugliness. So you have to be careful with your words. So if you say, I am beautiful, I am nice, I am kind, I am loving, I am, wealthy, I am positive, those words are going to bring to you what you put out there. You're putting it in your subconscious. Your subconscious is attracted to the universe, the energy in the universe, and so you're going to get that back. That does not mean your life's going to be perfect and you're always going to get what you want. That's not going to happen because we live on a planet where there's, sin, there's, curses, spiritual, supernatural curses on the planet because of mankind's sin, and that's in the Bible. So everybody, if you're a Christian, I'm sure you know that. If you're not, you just found out. That's why there's a whole lot of stuff going on. People, get upset about why does God allow this, and why is God so mean, and how can you allow a child to get raped or kidnapped, and you're God? Well, God has given us free will. So that free will means that we can make decisions on our own. That means there's evil and there's good. And if you choose evil, you make that decision. That's not God's fault. That's your fault. So we can't blame God for that. So what you put out, you have to be careful with your words. So if you get mad at God and you say, you didn't give me this and I wanted this, and you throw your fist up in the air, you remember what the things that you said and how you live, and you remember that you have free will and things happen the way they're supposed to happen. And if you veer away from your path that you're supposed to be on, then you need to realign yourself with your spirit and your God so that you know which path you're going to take, and so that those things will come to you that are meant to be yours and that are designed by God for you. God knows better than you. So if you get upset about that, think twice. Think about God knows everything about me. God can see my future. So I'm going to pray, let your will be done, God. And if you say that, then God's will be done, and you'll be less likely to throw your fist up in the air. So, this meditation is going to help you with that. It's going to help you center yourself, especially if you are 13 through 24, and you have that prefrontal cortex, which is your executive function. It's not fully developed, which means the consequences of your behavior, not all there. You're not really thinking ahead about going here or doing this and hanging out with that person. You're just like, I'm just going to do this. And that's normal for a teenager and a young adult. We've all gone through that. Some adults still do it, unfortunately, and that's usually because that prefrontal cortex has not closed due to drugs, alcohol. Addictions of some kind will keep that open. And that means that you have a teenage brain as an adult. So you're going to act out like a teenager or think like a teenager. So this meditation is going to help you soften that area, soften your eagerness to run in and jump into things. That's not taking away your youth. You still will be adventurous and excited about things and, want to go here and do that and find out this and hang out with this person. That's fine. But when you calm your prefrontal cortex and you calm your the developmental stage in your body, you are more likely to think better, and you'll be a happier teenager or young adult. You'll be able to solve your own problems. You won't always have to go to, your school counselor or tell your parents, I don't know why I made this mistake. I don't know why I keep doing this all the time. I don't know why I went here and did that all the time. And when you do the meditation and you keep it going, meditation is going to get you on an even keel, and you'll still be a positive, happy-go-lucky teenager, somebody who's adventurous and youthful. It'll still be there. You're just doing something that is it's almost supernatural. And a lot of people don't know this, but meditation is very powerful. It really will bring you to the center of where you need to be. No matter what age you are, you will be centered, you will learn how to be still, and you'll be able to think better. So I'm going to do that meditation on Monday. I'll tell you more about that in the week ahead video. Audio, actually. Another healthy habit or practice is praying. Prayer is very important. You want to practice that on a regular basis if you are a Christian or not. Doesn't matter. Get on your knees. That's the best way to talk to your God, your source, is on your knees, because you are bowing to the authority of God. You're bowing and you're saying, I respect you. I have reverence for you, God. I am bowing before you. You are my God. You're higher than I am. You know more than I do. I am going to get on my knees and bow before you. And God is just like, you know, let's do this. You know, so I learned that just going through church, reading the Bible, listening to pastors, listening to my mom, even my dad, you know, just that's just something that I learned. And that's what I know. Bowing on your knees is very, very powerful. So when you pray, I encourage you to do that. And prayer is just talking to God. You can be driving in your car, talking to somebody, talking to God, like you're talking to your friend sitting next to you, walking down the street, pray in your head. If you don't want to pray out loud and you're afraid people are going to think you're crazy. I talk out loud sometimes. I don't care. and you know, I smile and I'm thinking of something silly and people are just looking at me like, what's she smiling at? So because something just popped in my head, you know. So you can do that. You can pray, talk about, you know, talk to God about whatever is going on in your life. Doesn't matter. I hate school, God. What am I going to do? I don't want to go to this class. My bestie is mean to me. You know, my boyfriend cheated on me, or you know, whatever it is, you can talk to God about it. And that is pretty much prayer. Next is listening to calming music. So calming music is another form of meditation. This is, everybody loves music pretty much. And music, it just kind of resonates with everybody. Everybody has their little choices and everybody's able to identify with what they listen to. So if you're playing your radio in your car, you're, you know, got your earbuds in, and or you're just got your phone out or whatever, and you're playing some music, it'll probably put you in a certain mood. So if you listen to calming music and you're in a wellness and mindfulness state and you're doing your regimen, this is going to calm you down. It's going to keep you calm, especially if you're angry. So if you're pissed off, and this happens to me, you know, this is what I do when I get angry or I'm upset or I'm sad, something bad happened. I just lost somebody close to me to death. And, you know, just had a funeral, and it's just a sad thing, you know, to lose somebody. You don't get to see that person anymore. So that's painful. So, you know, when you think about that, think about stuff like that, or you think about something that went wrong in your life, or, you know, something bad happened, you got in a car accident, or, you know, you lost some money, you ran out of money, whatever. You might, feel like you just want to hit somebody, you know, or you just want to go scream, you want to smoke, drink, go find somebody and let off your emotions in their body. You know, that happens a lot. A lot of people think sex is the way to deal with your emotions, and it's not. And I will talk to you more about that. You're using each other, and that's not how God designed it. Now, I know people are going to be pissed off when they hear this, but that is the honest to God's truth. You don't want to use people to deal with your emotions. We are not here to use people. The body is a temple. We need to respect each other, and sex is supposed to be within the confines of a marriage and confines of love. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm just telling you what my beliefs are, what I know to be true for me and my morals and my standards. I don't believe that anybody has that right to do such a thing. So if you let your emotions out on somebody's body, that means that's all they are, is a body. That you don't care about them. You don't care what they're feeling. Even if they let you, even if it's consensual, you don't care about them. And my honest opinion is, if you want to have sex with somebody, care about them. I want to care about somebody, and I want the person to care about me. That's the reason why I chose to wait for marriage, because I don't want to be hopping around with a bunch of guys. You know, there's cute guys around. I get attention from guys. I date, it's fine, you know, but I don't want to just be like, hey, that guy is great. I don't know you. Let's just do some stuff. We're sexually attracted. We're physically attracted to each other. That's not enough for me. I don't know you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you believe. I don't want to connect with you that way. And then when a female has sex with a man, that bond, they actually bond with each other. She's bonding with him. The male is different. So if you're 13, you're 16, you're 21, and you're out there sexually active, and you're a female, you're actually creating a bond. So that makes you more addicted or more attracted. And you want to cling to that person. Men are not usually like that because they are the person that's on the hunt, but they're also the provider. So they're thinking more of a in a mindset of providing as opposed to nurturing and connecting. And so women have a tendency to connect easily. So that's why I don't want to give myself to somebody, because then I'm going to be attracted to them, addicted to them, and I want to stick with them. And I don't want to do that. And I also want to follow God's laws because I'm a Christian. So my soulmate out there, hopefully he's thinking the same way. And when we collide, we will be on the same page and he'll understand why I want to wait, and we'll be able to be on our own and be able to think right as far as being alone. So I just said that all just to let you know that listening to calming music has nothing to do with what I just said. I'm going off on a tangent, but you know what I'm saying. You want to make sure that your music resonates with you and what you're feeling for yourself, what you're going through, your emotions. That's why I talked about it, because I was talking about emotions. Okay, you get emotional and you want to turn on some music. So the music will calm you down. It will keep you peaceful. So think about the calming music that you like and that's good for you, so you don't get emotional and you don't do something that you're going to regret later, drinking, sex, drugs, whatever. Find some music. It's very, very powerful, and let that help you deal with your emotions. The next one is express love and compliments. This one is a little difficult for some people because some people do not are very shy, number one. Number two, some people are very, very insecure, and some people do not know how to accept compliments. So if you say, you look good today, they might look at you and look down and be like, well, gee, that was rude. It's because they don't know how to accept the compliment. Maybe they're just never told something like that. Maybe their parent or something said, you're no good, or there's nothing good about you. They never really heard that. Well, they're just shy and they just don't know how to accept it. So people respond to things differently. But when you express love, and you can do it however it works for you, when you get a chance, read the book, The Five Love Languages. Everybody has their own love language, and that means we don't all respond to love the same way. We want to give it a certain way, and we want to receive it a certain way. And if we have a mate, or we have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or somebody in our life, they may not want what you want. They may not feel what you feel. So you have to learn their love language. Ask them what they want, what they feel, what is good for them, what works for them. And then you'll be better able to express your love and wait for them to express their love, and give compliments to people on a regular basis. Don't feel like you're taking something from yourself if you say, hey, Susie, I love your shoes. Your hair looks great, girl. Look at your nails. Oh my goodness, where'd you get your nails done? It's okay if you say that and nobody says anything to you. That doesn't mean that you're ugly and that, you're just worthless. Let go of the jealousy. Ignore that. It's not worth it. That's Satan's territory. That's what happened to Lucifer in heaven with God, and then Lucifer got kicked out and became Satan. So if you are prone to jealousy, do not let it consume you, because then you have Satan's attention. You don't want Satan's attention. So that's very, very important for you to be careful with that, or anybody. So express love and compliments. And the next is volunteer and serve. So this is another way that you can start another healthy practice. Volunteer, give your time to somebody, some type of cause out there that's important to your heart, that makes you feel like you are just doing something amazing for somebody. You're really helping somebody. That's why I love helping the homeless, because they are just like, they're pitiful. They're ignored. Nobody cares about them. People walk by them and ignore the crap out of them. It's like, they're people too. They're God's children. They're dirty. They're stinky. They're sad. They're blue. And sometimes I just observe them and I'm like, man, if Jesus was here, Jesus would sit right next to you. Jesus would talk to you. Jesus would ask you what your name is. Jesus would feed you and not care anything about what anybody thinks, not care what they smell like, what they look like. Jesus wouldn't care. So I want that heart too. That's how I want to be. I want to follow in Jesus' footsteps. So that's how I see them. I want to look at them as people too, very important. They had a life before, obviously, somewhere. They weren't born homeless. They weren't born and placed in the street. Something bad happened. And they all of them have a story. And you see some of them suffering, and they're crying, and they're gone crazy. Some of them pretend. I know, I've watched. But a lot of times they snap because of their situation. And so if you have compassion for them and you want to help them, go for it. Do it. Who cares who's watching? Who cares who you are? Just do it. serve your world. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve each other and to love each other and to support one another. So find something that resonates with your heart and it's close to your heart and that you would really love to do, and just do it. Even if you have to start something new, go and do it. The next one I have for you is make amends. This one is huge as well. I find that adults are very challenged by saying, I'm sorry, I apologize for what I said to you, what I did to you, what happened. Youth and children, not so much. They can easily apologize. I've seen this, going to elementary schools, going to high schools, junior high schools, or middle schools, just being around kids, because when you grow up, your parent tells you, you hit Sally, go say you're sorry, and then you have to go do it. It's like kind of they're forcing you, even though you might be a little shy about it, or you might be like, I don't want to do that, but your parent is teaching you, so you're more likely to say it. So I hear it from younger people more than I hear it from adults. And it's because adults have this mindset that I don't think I'm going to let you know I made a mistake. I look bad. I can't do it. And it's like a reverse insecurity. When you're younger, you're a little more insecure. And then when you get older, you're supposed to have this certain mindset that I've been through all of this already. This has happened already. I'm an adult. I'm mature. I can do what I need to do to set the record straight, to make amends, to keep this relationship going, to be the friend that I'm supposed to be, the husband, the wife, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the bestie, the pastor I'm supposed to be, the mother, the father, daughter, whatever. I want to be that person to whomever I love in my life. So if I make a mistake, I want to be able to apologize, no matter how big or small it is. Reach out to the person, send them a text message. You know what? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Even if they don't know you made the mistake, if you feel bad about it, apologize about something. If you've caused a rift between you and a person, or you're pour down a bridge and you're not talking to somebody, find a way to build that bridge. Invite them out for a coffee. Send them a letter or a note or something. Ask them how they're doing. Don't just cut ties with them and never speak to them. That's usually because you're insecure about it and you're being immature about it. And I know that may not like you might not like what I'm saying, but from my observation studying people, I have a background in psychology. I love to study behavior and attitudes. I'm just fascinated by the way people respond to one another, how they behave in the world, and then they close their doors and then they behave differently. It's fascinating to me how people react to one another and respond to each other and connect. So, in apologies, I've noticed even people that need to apologize to me still won't say that because they're adults and they feel like I don't have to say I'm sorry to you, Cicely, because then you know I made a mistake. And then there's like this tension between us. So if we see each other and it's like, oh yeah, hi. Hey, how's it going? So I gotta make a phone call, right? And you want to leave, you don't really want to hang out with the person because you feel like that person did not get it. And that doesn't mean they didn't. It just means that they're scared. Maybe they're afraid to apologize. If you feel confident enough, ask for your apology. If you don't, pray about it. When all else fails, get on your knees and pray about it. And hopefully that person will be kind enough to accept what you say and say, okay, I understand. When I used to watch the Dr. Phil show, I love Dr. Phil because he just gets to the right to the heart of the matter. He's just a no mess type of guy. He's just like, let's just get down to it. This is what I see. He's not gonna hold your hand and be like, oh, you poor thing. He's just gonna be like, let's just get down to it. And I love that about him because he's straightforward, he's honest, and I'm like that too. I'm honest. I'm not gonna pussyfoot around. I'm not gonna, pretend this and pretend that. I'm gonna tell you straight out. And I am have learned to be careful with my words because I'm a very bold person, so I have to be careful how I come off to people because some people don't understand that, the boldness that I have. It scares them, it intimidates them, and they might shy away from me. So it's just my personality. And when I watch the Dr. Phil show, I learned from him when he talks to couples, especially, he's talking to these two people that love each other. And they're crying their eyes out. And they're like, man, I don't know why he cheated on me, or why she, told her girlfriends this or that, or she took the kids from me, or he cheated on me. I mean, she cheated on me. Just, something crazy happened in their relationship, and they're crying their eyes out on the Dr. Phil show. And let's say it's, it's usually the female. Now, I'm not being, gender biased or anything like that, but it's usually the female who wants the apology from her man. And men have a really hard time with emotions. We all know this. So if she's crying and crying and crying and she doesn't want to talk to you, chances are you done something and you need to fix it. So the best thing you can do, hold her hand, look her in the eye, sweetie pie. I'm sorry, whatever it is I did, tell me what I did. I apologize. And so on the Dr. Phil show, I was watching it, and it happened both genders. He would tell them, when that person hears, knows that you get what you did to them, you get that you hurt them in a certain way, you can mend that fence right away. It's just gonna work. So you cannot go up to somebody and say, hey, Jennifer, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry that I hurt you. You want to get some ice cream? And the person's just like, huh? That's not an apology. It's just like you're just trying to say you're sorry real quick and sweep it under the rug. You want to be able to understand that that person is hurt by your actions, your words, whatever it is that happened between you two. Each of you need to get it. So that means your apology needs to be powerful. That doesn't mean you need to write a song or a poem. Tell them that I am sorry. I get that I hurt you. I understand that I was disrespectful, that I made you cry, that I broke your heart. I am sorry. And just be done with it. And when somebody sees that and hears that, their heart just flutters because they know that you got it. And that's what happens on the Dr. Phil show. And so I was like, whoa, you go, Dr. Phil. So when you get the chance, if you need to make an apology, make amends with the person you need to make amends with. If you don't ever want to see them again, fine. You don't have to apologize. But if you really truly want them to know that you're sorry, I say make amends. And this is a good way to practice. Start a healthy practice so that you're not one of those adults. I'm so mature and I don't have to apologize to you. That's immaturity. If you cannot apologize, straight up, now tell me, immaturity. That's all it is. And the next one is stay busy. So be productive in your life and with the things that you want to do. So that means don't go out doing stuff that everybody else wants you to do. You're not going to be happy. If you want to go to a certain college and your parents or your friends tell you, we're going to go to this college and you need to go too, I would think that through. Now I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's your decision. If your parent wants you to go to their college or a certain college and you want to listen to them, do what you want to do. That's your decision. That's going to create a path for you in your life. So you want to make sure that that's what you want to do. So find something to be productive. Find a hobby that you love. Find something that really makes you smile, that you're happy. For me, I love working with youth. I am excited about when I'm hanging out with teenagers and young adults and just encouraging them and motivating them to excellence and just connecting with them. We just have fun, just being silly, joking. I've learned the lingo. And when I have that opportunity to hang out with them, I'm at peace. I love it. And I remember my youth, so that brings me back and it keeps me youthful. And, as you're getting older, like me, everybody's getting older, you want to still feel that youth. So you're less likely to disrespect teenagers and say, oh, that's just a young kid. He's a punk. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear from you. I respect them. They have a voice and they are important and they are our future. So that's my productive life right there. That's huge for me. Dancing. I love to dance. I will try to stay busy even on the weekends. I'll try to find something fun. Even watching a movie. It's just, I'm not really being productive, but I'm talking to the TV. I'm telling her, like, girl, you better don't do that. Don't you fall. Like, how do you do that? What is wrong with him? That's productive, right? So find something that's going to keep you busy and make you happy and make you smile, and you really want to do it every day. And then lastly, let go of everything. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold on to stuff that happened 10 years ago and you just can't seem to deal with thinking about it. You're a horrible person because in 1987, you hit somebody with your bike and you just hate yourself. It's ridiculous. So you don't need to hold on to stuff. Let go of things. I have learned over the years not to hold grudges because when I was in my 20s, that's what I used to do, hold grudges. Somebody made me mad, somebody hurt my feelings. I was extremely sensitive. I'm still sensitive, but not as sensitive as I was, a few years ago when I was 25. Stop laughing. So seriously though, I would hold grudges and I did not want to see the person anymore. And I can't be like that. I've learned that you're not, Cicely, you're not going to keep any friendships. You're not going to be able to talk to this person again or hang out with them next weekend if you hold a grudge because they said something you don't like or they hurt your feelings. If you're a hypersensitive person, you're going to have to learn to have a thicker skin and squash some things because everything is not about you. Sometimes people do stuff because of the way they were raised, because what they believe, something that they saw, somebody said something to them. Or something that they feel, and they don't realize how they come off to people. So you got to let stuff go. You got to let people go. Don't hold on to people. Don't be clingy. Don't tell people you stay here, you stay home, you need to be here, you need to do this. We're not here to control people. Now, if your parent says don't go out, don't go out. If you're 13 through 20, 13 through 17, that is, you need to obey your parents' instructions and rules and agreements and whatever you have. Very important. However, if you want to voice your concerns about that, I highly encourage you to do so. But let go. Don't hold grudges against people because they've done something to you that you just like, how could you insult me? How could you do such a thing? Let it go and let them go. Let them be who they are and do what they need to do. If you don't want to hang around them, if they don't make you feel better about yourself, then don't hang out with them. But don't hold on to a grudge. Don't start planning and plotting revenge because that is not our right. That's why people are behind bars in jail and prison because they plot and scheme against people or they hurt people. Be careful with what you do. If you're mad at somebody, if you're jealous of somebody, hold it for a minute. Write it down. Think about it. Think it through and say, if I respond in a jealous way, if I respond in a mean, cruel, angry way, and I tell this person off, or I steal from this person, or I disrespect this person, or I hurt this person, this is what's going to result afterwards. And if you don't care what happens to that person after you've done something to them, then you need to check your heart. You need to get on your knees and say, God, help me with my heart. Help me with the way I behave. Help me with my attitude, how I come off to other people, how I see myself. Because if you don't, I am liable to go hurt somebody. And that means some demons are going to get in my head. The devil's going to start messing around. Satan's going to, squeeze my heart and be like, hey, you belong to me now. Let's go do some evil. And you're done. So you got to be careful. Let people go. Don't hold on to them. People die from being held hostage. In relationships, this happens. Sometimes people get addicted to somebody and they don't want them talking to anybody else. They don't want them hanging out with anybody else. This happens in a lot of youthful relationships. And it's usually the male who's doing this. That's an abusive relationship. You do not tell your girlfriend that you have to go here, you have to wear that, and you cannot hang out with those people anymore. That is not your right. So be careful with those things. We are not put here to control people and tell them what to do. Everybody has their own mind, they have their own heart. If they did not, they are a robot, and there you go ahead and control them. But because everybody has their own mind and their brain, their own heart, their own feelings and emotions, their own likes and dislikes, that means let them express themselves, who they are, what they want, where they want to go. Leave them alone, or you may never see them again, and you can kill them. People died, once again, from broken hearts, from people clinging to them so much. Let them go. Don't cling to people. If somebody does not want to be with you, let them go. If they don't want to talk to you, let them go. Do not beg them. Do not coerce them. Do not hurt them. Do not try to find something to do to make them want you. If somebody does not want you, let them go. And everything, all the things that have hurt you, people who have come up against you, people that have caused pain in your life, Whatever has happened to you, if you're holding on to it, you cannot have a wellness and mindfulness routine that's going to be positive. You cannot move forward with your life. You cannot do these meditations and change your mindset and your eating habits and tweak your attitude and take care of other people. Volunteer if you are somebody who holds grudges and holds on to things. So be careful with what you hold, because what you hold is going to hold you back too. So be careful with that. Let go. The second part of this is very, very quick, and then I'm done. So lastly, I want to talk to you about being still. So being still does also come from a positive mindset, and it also comes from a meditative state. So when you are in a meditative state, you're still. I will talk to you about this when I do the I Am meditation on Monday. You're in a still, calm state, like when the water is flowing and peaceful, peaceful. When I was doing the video at the beach, the water was really still until those boats came by, but it was still. And that stillness helps me be still because I'm connecting with the water. And I feel like I'm connecting with God when I'm connecting with that water, because that's God, you know? God has a wrath, God gets angry, but for the most part, God is peaceful, like Jesus, peaceful, same person, the Trinity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, peaceful and still. That is the Lamb, you know, which is Jesus. And so you have to make sure you want to be still. And when you decide that you want to be still and you don't want all this clutter and chaos holding you down and breaking you down and tearing your heart apart, tearing your world apart, making you depressed and emotional all the time, spitting words at people and doing things to people because you don't feel good about who you are, you're killing that stillness. And that stillness is going to keep you peaceful, and it's going to attract the right people to you, attract the right things to you. So you'll be happy. So let's listen to what I'm going to tell you to do, and I want you to practice this. So once again, being still is about silence. It's about meditation. So find some place where you can be silent, where there's not a whole lot of noise around you, like the ocean, and where you can meditate. And you don't have to say words. You can just, you know, close your eyes or just stare at the water. That's what I usually do. I just look at the water, and it calms me down. So you have ears, you have a nose, you have eyes, and you have hands. So use your ears to listen. Use your nose to take in the scents around you. Use your eyes to observe and to see. And use your heart to feel, your hands to touch in a kind, sweet, loving, gentle. Have the intention to love others, the intention to touch people kindly, not to use them or to harm them or to mistreat them, to yank them, pull them, push them, but to love them. Hugging, playing with your kids, petting your dog, holding your significant other's hand, or even your friend or your family member's hand. That's touch. Again, listen with your ears, take in the scents with your nose, and observe with your. When you observe with your eyes, make sure you're seeing beyond what you see, because there's always more to people than what you see. Especially if they're looking at their skin color, looking at their gender, the way they dress, how they walk, the way they do their hair. That's not who people are. Who people are is what's on the inside. So if you see somebody different than you, find a way to get to know something about them that you didn't know before. You might think differently about them. That's all I have for you. Thank you so much for listening. The next three videos will be about the mind, the body, and the spirit. And once again, Monday, please join me for your I Am meditation. This is huge for you if you are 13 through 24. I want you to start your new wellness and mindfulness regimen or routine with putting out positive things in the world. So thank you so much for listening, and be well and be at peace. I love you. Namaste.